Imam al-Hussein, told by one of the more recent authors, his name is, or the name of the book is Maqtal al-Muqarram. Al-Muqarram is the one who has published this. And of course, I'm reading the English translation, which was translated by a brother, a very good brother, a very dear brother in Northern California. His name is Brother Muhammad Rafiq Laboon. He is in need of your prayers. Unfortunately, he has been imprisoned for false accusations that they've had against him because of his support of, Islamic movements or whatever we have. So before I do the maqtal, inshallah, let's recite Surah Al-Fatiha, inshallah, to bless him, inshallah. Bismillah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'm going to do it the traditional way. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. When it was the 10th of Muharram, Al-Husayn led the morning prayers for his band, then stood up and delivered a sermon. He praised Allah and glorified Him, then said, Allah Almighty has permitted your being killed today, so you should persevere and you should fight. Then he prepared them for the battle in one line. There were 82 horsemen and 2 footmen. He let Zuhayr ibn al-Qin be in the right wing and Habib ibn Madahir on the left. He and his family members remained in the center. He gave his flag to his brother, Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. Ibn Sa'd put Amr ibn Hajjaj in charge of the right wing. On the left, he gave charge to Shimr ibn Dhul-Jawshan. They were commanded by Izra ibn Qais. The footmen were commanded by Shabath ibn Rabi'im. Al-Husayn, salamullahi alayhi, called for his camel. Having mounted it, he called out loudly enough to be heard, saying, he's addressing the people, trying to stop them from committing this crime. O people, listen to my speech, and do not rush till I admonish you with that which I owe you, and so that I tell you why I have come here. So if you accept my excuse and believe my statement and fare with me with equity, you will be much happier and you will see no reason to expose me to this. But if you do not accept my reason and do not fare with me with equity, then gather your affairs and your accomplices and do not feel sorry for what you do, but affect your judgment in my regard and do not grant me any respect. Surely my Lord is Allah who revealed the book and He looked after the righteous. The women heard this statement. They cried and wailed, and their voices grew loud. Whereupon the Imam sent them his brother Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas and his son Ali al-Akbar to ask them to remain quiet and not to cry. The Imam began his talk after reminding them of the temporary state of this dunya. The Imam said, O people, identify me and find out who I am. Then go back to your evil selves and blame them. Then see whether it is lawful for you to violate my sanctity. Am I not the son of your prophet's daughter? The son of his wali and cousin, the foremost to believe, the one who testified to the truth of what he had brought from his Lord. Is not Hamza the master of martyrs my uncle? Is not Ja'far al-Tayyar my uncle? Have you not heard that the Messenger of Allah has said about me and about my brother, these are the masters of the youth of paradise. So if you believe what I say, which is the truth, let me swear by Allah that I never deliberately told a lie since I came to know that Allah hates lying and liars, and that lying is the detrimental to those who invent it. Words were exchanged between some of the enemy and the Imam's companions. They started being rude. None of them spoke a word to the Imam, so he called out, O Shabath ibn Rabi'i, O Hijr ibn Abjar, O Qais ibn Ash'ath, O Zayd ibn Harith, did you not write me saying, come, for the fruits are ripe, the pastures are green, and you will come to troops ready for you to command? They said, we did not say so. The Imam said, Subhanallah, yes, by Allah, you exactly said so. The Imam alighted from his camel, asking, Zuhair ibn Qin gives a lecture advising the people. They taunted him in praise, Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, and even supplicated for him. Then they said, we shall not leave this place before killing your friend and all those who accompany him, or we safely send him and them to Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad. Zuhayn said, O servants of Allah, Ya Ibadallah, the descendants of Fatima are more worthy of being loved and supported than the sons of Sumayya. But if you don't support them, I seek refuge with Allah against you, killing them. Save this man from Yazid, for by my life Yazid will be satisfied with your obedience to him, even if you do not kill al-Husayn. Shem shot at him with an arrow, saying, shut your mouth, may Allah forever silence your voice. You have bored us with talking too much. Burayr ibn Khayn sought al-Husayn's permission to deliver a speech. He was a mentor, a tabib, a qari, actually one of the most prominent qaris of Kufa's Grand Mosque. Among the people of Hamdan, he enjoyed a great deal of honor and prestige. Having acquired permission, he stood near the enemy and said, O people, Allah sent Muhammad as bearer of glad tidings and warner, a caller to Allah's path and a lantern of nur and light. Here is the water of the Euphrates, wherein black boars and dogs wade. Yet it has been made taboo for the son of the daughter of Allah's messenger. Is this how you show your gratitude to the Prophet Muhammad? They said to him, O Burayr, you have already said too much, so spare us, for by Allah, Al-Husayn shall suffer of thirst, just as those before him had suffered. He said, O people, Muhammad's offspring were now among you, are now among you. These are his offspring, progeny, daughters and ladies. So let us know what you have in mind, what you're planning to do with them. They said to him, we intend to put them at the disposal of the governor, Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, who will fare with them as he sees fit. The Imam gives another talk after this to get the people to realize and wake up, but they continue to demand to fight. Al-Husayn called upon Umar ibn Sa'd to come forward. The latter very much hated to look at the Imam in his eyes. The Imam said to him, O Umar, do you really claim that you will kill me so that the bastard son will make you the wali of the land of Rai and Jurjan? By Allah, you shall never have such an enjoyment. This is a promise already made, so do whatsoever you wish. For you will not be pleased after my demise with either this life or with the life hereafter. It is as though I can see your head mounted on a stick and children of Kufa tossing it from one to another, using it as a toy. Umar, outraged, turned his face away from the Imam. Having heard his speech and his plea for help, Al-Hur came to Umar ibn Sa'd and said, are you going to fight this man? Umar said, yes, by Allah. Hur said, Umar ibn Sa'd added, a fight in the easiest part of which heads will roll and hands will be cut off. Al-Hur asked him, what is your objection to his offer of departure? Umar answered, had it been up to me, I would have accepted it, but your governor refuses. Al-Hur left him and stood by the others. Beside him stood Qarra ibn Qais, whom he asked, have you watered your horse today? He said, no, came the answer. Do you then wish to do so? Was Hur's question. Qarra took the statement to imply that Hur was reluctant to fight Al-Husayn. He did not wish to be seen by him defecting. So he walked away from him. Al-Hur kept getting closer and closer to Al-Husayn. Al-Muhajir ibn Aus asked him, do you want to charge at him? Al-Hur remained silent. He felt chilled to the bones. So he shivered. Having seen him shiver, Al-Muhajir felt terrified and said to him, had it been asked, who is the most daring of all Kufans, I would have given no name other than yours. So why do I see you look like that? Al-Hur said, I am giving my soul the option between choosing paradise or hell. By Allah, I do not prefer anything over paradise, even if it means I'll be burnt alive. Having said so, he beat his horse in the direction of Imam al-Husayn, turning his spear upside down and holding his shield the opposite way. He came lowering his head, feeling too shy to look at the Prophet's family in the eyes because of having exposed them to such hardship, bringing them to such a place where neither water nor grass could be found. Loudly he spoke these words, O Allah, to you do I surrender, so do accept my repentance, for I have filled the hearts of your walis and the sons of your prophet with fear. O Father of Abdullah, Ya Abu Abdullah, I am repentant. So can my repentance be accepted at all? Al-Husayn said, yes, Allah will accept your repentance. The statement found its place to Hur's heart, filling it with joy. He took a moment to contemplate upon the eternal life and the incentive. This, it now became clear to him what that voice which had addressed him meant upon his departure from Kufa. He had a dialogue with Al-Husayn, among what he said to him was, when I went out of Kufa, I was addressed thus, O Hur, you are given the glad tidings of paradise. I said to myself, woe unto me, how can I be given such glad tidings? Since I am going to fight the son of the daughter of Allah's Messenger. Al-Husayn said to him, you have now acquired a great deal of good and a great reward. A Turkish slave was with him. Al-Hur sought Al-Husayn's permission to address the people, and permission was granted to him as loudly as he could. Hur called out to the Kufans thus, O people of Kufa, a foolish and a bad example of others have you surely set when you invited him to come to you, then grieved him and surrounded him from all directions, forbidding him from going anywhere in Allah's spacious land, so that he and his family might be safe, rendering him like a captive in your hands, unable to help himself. You have prohibited him, his ladies, his children, and his companions from the flowing water of the Euphrates, of which the Jews, the Christians, and the Zoroastrians drink, and wherein black swine and dogs wade. Look and see how thirst had subdued them. Evil is the way whereby you succeeded, Muhammad, in treating his progeny. May Allah never permit you to drink on the day of the thirst. His own men now started shooting arrows towards him. So he was forced to retreat till he stayed face to face with Imam al-Husayn. Umar ibn Sa'd advanced towards al-Husayn's troops and shot an arrow saying, testify for me with the governor that I shot the first arrow. Others followed suit. Hardly any of al-Husayn's men escaped being shot at by an arrow. The Imam said to his companions, stand, may Allah be merciful unto you, and meet the imminent death, for these arrows are messengers of these people to you. And he and his companies charged together and fought for a while. By the time the cloud of dust dissipated, many men had been killed. Yasir, Ziyad's slave, and Salim, the slave of Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, came out and challenged anyone to fight them in a duel. Habib and Burayr leaped to meet their challenge, but al-Husayn did not permit them. Abdullah ibn Umayr al-Kalbi of Banu Ali, who was known as Abu Wahab, a tall and masculine man, with broad shoulders, a man who was held with very high esteem among his people, a man of courage and material experience, stood up. Al-Husayn permitted him, saying, I believe he is a match for both of them. Who are you? The challengers inquired. He identified himself to them, but they could not recognize him. One of them said, we do not know you. Let either Habib or Zuhair or Buray come out. Yasir stood nearby. The latter said to him, you son of the adulteress, do you not wish to fight me? Then charged at him and engaged him in a sword duel. When the rest of al-Husayn's companions saw the large number of those who had been killed from their camp, two, three, or four men simultaneously sought Al-Husayn's permission to let them defend him and his ladies. Each member of these groups tried his best to protect the other or others as they fought. Two men, both with the last name of Al-Jabiri, namely Saif ibn Al-Harith ibn Sari and Malik ibn Abd ibn Sari, both cousins, came out weeping. Al-Husayn asked them, "Why are you weeping? I hope after a short while you'll see what will cool your eyes." They said, "May Allah accept us as your own sacrifice. We are not mourning our own death, but we are weeping only because we can see how you are thus surrendered, surrounded, while we cannot do much for you." Al-Husayn prayed Allah to reward them both with goodness. When Al-Husayn saw that a large number of his companions had died, he took hold of his sacred beard and said, "Allah's wrath intensified against the Jews for having attributed a son to him, and his wrath intensified against the Christians who made him one of three, and his wrath also intensified against the Zoroastrians who worshipped the sun and the moon instead of worshipping him, and his wrath intensified against people who collectively agreed to kill the son of their prophet's daughter. By Allah, I shall never agree with them about I shall never agree with them about anything they want me to do till I meet Allah drenched in my blood." Then he called out, "Is there anyone who would defend the ladies of the Messenger of Allah? هَلْ مِنْ ذَابٍ يَذُبُّ عَنْ حَرَمِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ." Hearing him, the women cried and wailed. Having seen how the number of their fighting men became so small, Al-Husayn's companions resorted to fight individually in duels, thus they were able to kill a large number of the Kufans. Amr ibn al-Hajjaj then shouted loudly at his men, "Do you really know who you are fighting? You're fighting the land's knights, the people of vision, those who stay firm till death. None of you comes out to fight them except that he gets killed despite their small number. By Allah, if you throw rocks at them, you will be able to kill them all." Umar ibn Sa'd said to him, "Yes, you have said the truth. Your idea is the sound one. So send word to everyone and tell them not to come out to them for any duel. True, if you fight them singly, they will finish you." Amr ibn al-Hajjaj attacked Al-Husayn's right wing, but the men were able to maintain their ground, kneeling down as they planted their lanes. They were thus able to frighten the enemy's horses. When the horses came back to charge at them again, Al-Husayn's men met with their arrows, killing some of them and wounding others. Amr ibn al-Hajjaj kept saying the following to his men, "Fight those who abandoned their creed and who deserted the Jama'ah." Hearing him say so, Al-Husayn said to him, "Woe unto you, O Amr! Are you really instigating people to fight me? Are we really the ones who abandoned their creed while you yourself uphold it? As soon as our souls part from our bodies, you will find out who is most worthy of entering the fire." Muslim ibn Awsajah fights first. The companions began to go one by one. Al-Shamr and his company attacked the right wing of Al-Husayn's army, but the latter was able to stay firm in their positions, forcing the attackers to withdraw. In that engagement, Abdullah ibn Umair al-Kalbi participated, killing 19 horsemen and 12 footmen. Hani ibn Thabit charged at him, cutting off his right hand as Baq was cutting his left. He was taken captive and instantly killed. His wife, Wahab, walked towards his corpse and sat at his head, wiping the blood from it and saying, "Congratulations for having earned paradise. I plead to Allah who blessed you with paradise to make me join you." Al-Shamr heard her and told his slave Rustam to hit her head with a rod, which he did. She died there and then. She was the first woman to be martyred from among Al-Husayn's companions. Shamr now attacked, piercing Al-Husayn's tent. They got close to the tents, brothers and sisters, piercing Al-Husayn's tent with his lance and loudly shouting, "Give me a torch of fire to burn the tent and everyone in it." The women inside the tent screamed and prevailed as they fled. Al-Husayn called to him, saying, "O son of the Jawshan, are you calling for fire to burn my Ahlul Bayt? May Allah burn you with His fire." Shabath ibn Rabi'i asked Shimr, "Have you sunk so low as to be one who thus frightens women? I have never seen anyone doing a worse thing than what you have done, nor a situation more ugly than yours." The rogue felt ashamed of himself, so he went away. Zuhayr ibn Qin, heading a company of 10 fighters, attacked Shim's company till they succeeded in distancing them from their quarters. When Izra, son of Qais, who was head of the cavalry division, noticed how weak his fellows were and how they failed in their mission wherever they charged, he sent a message to Umar ibn Sa'd asking for more men. Umar ibn Sa'd said to Shabath ibn Rab'i, "Why don't you attack them?" Yet he sent him Al-Husayn ibn Umayr in charge of 500 archers, and fighting intensified. Al-Husayn's companions suffered most of the wounds. Their horses suffered many wounds. Ibn Sa'd issued his order to burn all the tents. They attacked the tent site of the Imam. His order was carried out. Women screamed in fright. Children were dumbfounded. Al-Husayn said, "Let them burn them. For once they have done so, they would not touch you with any harm." Abu Thumam al-Asadi looked at the sun and saw that it was already afternoon, Dhuhr time, so he said to Al-Husayn, "May I be sacrificed for your sake? I can see that these folks have advanced towards you. No, by Allah, you should not be killed before I die defending you." And I love to return to Allah after having performed the prayers whose time has approached. Al-Husayn raised his hand to the heavens and said, "You have remembered the prayers. May Allah count you among those who uphold the prayers and who remember him often. Yes, this is the beginning of its time. Ask them to leave us alone so that we may perform the prayers." Al-Husayn, who had heard the Imam say these words, commented by saying, "It will not be accepted." Habib ibn Madahir heard what the rogue had said. So he responded to him by saying, "Do you claim that prayers are not accepted from the Prophet's family, but yours are accepted?" Al-Husayn ibn Numayr charged at Habib. Habib slapped the face of Husayn's horse, causing it to leap and throw its rider on the ground. Husayn ibn Umayr's men had to rush to his rescue and to carry him away to safety. Habib, despite his advanced age, fought them, killing as very many people. Badil attacked him and dealt a sword blow to him as a man from Tamim hit him with his lance. Habib now fell on the ground. As he attempted to stand up again, Husayn ibn Numayr hit him with his sword on the head, causing him to fall again face long. The man from Tamim alighted and severed Habib's head. Habib, being thus killed, shook Al-Husayn, who said, "It is only to Allah that I complain about what has happened to me and my companions." For a good while, the Imam kept repeating the statement, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." After him, Hurr ibn Yazid al-Riyahi came out accompanied by Zuhayk. The companions go one by one. They go and meet their destiny, which was to accomplish the rank of Shahada, protecting the grandson of the Prophet. But there came a time, none remained with Al-Husayn, except for his Ahlul Bayt, who were determined to face death with their might, and to maintain their dignity. They came bidding each other farewell, and first began being Abu al-Hasan, Ali al-Akbar. Once he was about to start his role in defending the Ahlul Bayt, it rested extremely heavily for the ladies who grew up in the lap of the Imamat, because he was the one upon whom they rested their hopes for their protection and security. Their only hope after Al-Husayn is gone. Ali moved towards the enemy. Al-Husayn could not help flooding his eyes with tears and shouted at Umar ibn Sa'd, "What is the matter with you? May Allah cut off your lineage just as you have cut off mine, and just as you have not respected my kinship to the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him and his progeny. May he send upon you someone to slay you on your own bed." He kept charging at the right and left wings. This is Ali al-Akbar, diving in their midst Whenever a group of fighters met him, he would repulse them, all of them. Thirst took its toll on him, so he returned to his father to rest, to complain about suffering from thirst. Al-Husayn wept and said, "Oh help! How quickly shall you meet your grandfather, who will give you a drink after which you shall never suffer of thirst?" Ali went back to the battlefield, feeling very happy about the good news which he had just heard from his imam. The Hujjah, who had told him that he would soon meet his grandfather, the Chosen One, peace of Allah be upon him and his progeny, he therefore advanced towards them with courage of Imam Al-Ali. He met the enemies face to face. Murra ibn Munqith said, "I shall bear all the sins of the Arabs. I should not succeed in causing his father to lose him for good." He stabbed him with his lance in the back and hit him with his sword on the head, splitting it in half. Ali embraced his horse that carried him to the enemy. His horse carried Ali and Al-Akbar towards the enemy. There he became the target of the swords and the spears. A body being carried towards the enemy on the horse, they take their swords and spears and arrows. سيقطعوا عربا عربا. He called out saying, "Peace be upon you from me, O Father, Ya Abba Abdullah. My grandfather has given me a drink with his own cup, after which I shall never suffer any thirst. And he says that there's another one reserved just for you." Al-Husayn came to him, placed his cheek on Ali and Al-Akbar's cheeks, and he said, "There is no good in life after you. How dare they defy the Most Merciful One? And how dare they violate the sanctity of His Messenger? It's difficult upon your grandfather and father that they cannot respond to you when you call upon them, and that they cannot help you when you ask for their help." He ordered his servants to carry him to the tent. His corpse was brought to the tent in front of which they were fighting. Zainab, the great one, daughter of Fatima, the daughter of the Holy Prophet, crying and wailing, she threw herself on the corpse of her nephew, hugging it, grief-stricken, for he was the guardian of her home and its pillar. After him, Abdullah ibn Muslim ibn Aqil went to the battlefield. He charged, he killed a number of the enemy troops and three of his assaults. Yazid ibn Ruqad shot him with an arrow that he unsuccessfully tried to avoid with his hand, but it pierced his hand and found its way in his forehead. He could not remove it from his forehead. He couldn't take his hand back. He therefore said, "Ya Allah, they have found us few in number, So they humiliated us, killed them, O Lord, as they've killed us. As he was thus engaged, a man threw a spear at him, which pierced his heart, killing him instantly. When Abdullah ibn Muslim was killed, the family of Abu Talib undertook a collective campaign. Al-Husayn called out to them saying, "Be patient, O cousins. By Allah, after today you shall not meet any hardship at all." After a while, Abu Bakr, son of Imam al-Hassan, son of the commander of the faithful, came out. His first name is Abdullah al-Akbar, and his mother was Walad, named Ramla. He fought till he was killed. After the latter, his full-blooded brother Al-Qasim came out. He was a lad who had not yet come of age. When Al-Husayn looked at him, the Imam had hugged him and wept. Then he permitted Qasim to fight. So he came out with a face looking like a full moon, bearing a sword and wearing a shirt and a mantle. On his feet he wore sandals. He had to fight on foot. As he was thus engaged, Umar ibn Sa'd attacked him. Hamid ibn Muslim asked him, "What do you want to do? Are you not satisfied to see all the crowd that surrounds him?" He said, "By Allah, I shall attack him." He hit Qasim with his sword. The boy fell to the ground. He called, "O uncle." Imam al-Husayn came out to his help like an angry lion and struck Amr with his sword. Amr tried to avoid it with his arm, so the Imam cut it off from the elbow, causing him to let out a very loud scream, which was heard from the entire enemy. The cavalry of Ibn Sa'd charged in order to rescue him. Amr met them face to face, causing their horses to trample upon him and to eventually kill him. After some time, the cloud of dust disappeared. So Imam al-Husayn was now seen standing at the head of the young boy, examining his feet. Imam al-Husayn said, "Away with people who have killed you, while your opponent on the day of judgment will be your grandfather." Then he said, "Hard it is, by Allah, it is difficult that you call upon your uncle to help you and he cannot answer your call, or that he does not answer it but cannot do much for you. It is a lone voice whose enemies and whose supporters are few." Then he carried him away. Al-Qasim was on Imam al-Husayn's chest. His legs were dragging on the ground. Imam al-Husayn put the corpse beside that of Ali ibn al-Akbar and those of his family who had been killed. When Abbas saw how such a large number of his family members were being killed, he said to his brothers Abdullah, Uthman, and Ja'far, Advance, O brothers, so that I may see you supporting the cause of Allah and His Messenger. Then he turned to Abdullah, their oldest, and said, Advance, O brother, so that I may see you receiving the honor of martyrdom. They fought in front of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas till they were all killed. Al-Abbas could no longer bear life after having seen how his companions and the members of his family killed, and how the Hujjah of the time, the Imam of the time, was suffering from the great number of the enemy surrounding him after his supply route had been cut off, and after hearing the women wailing and the children crying of thirst. He therefore sought permission from his brother. Since Abbas was the most precious asset to the grandson of the Prophet, who is soon to be martyred, especially since the foes always dreaded having to fight him and feared his advance, and how the ladies felt a sense of security upon seeing the standard raised high, the sacred soul of the father of the oppressed did not accept to part with him. The Imam said to him, O brother, you are my flag bearer. Abbas said, I'm fed up with these hypocrites and I want to seek revenge against them. Imam al-Hussein ordered him to bring water for the children. So Abbas went to those people and admonished them, warning them of the wrath of the Omnipotent. But all of that fell on deaf ears. He then shouted, O Umar ibn Sa'd, here is Imam al-Hussein, son of the daughter of the Messenger of Allah. You have killed his companions and family, and here are his children suffering from thirst. Give them some water, for thirst has burnt their hearts. As he kept repeating his pleas, he also kept saying to them, let me go to Rome or to India, and I shall leave Hijaz and Iraq for all of you. There were some people among the enemy ranks who were moved by these pleas, so they wept. But Shem shouted as loudly as he could, O son of Abu Turab, had the face of the earth entirely had been covered with water, and had it been in our hands, we would still have not given you a drop of it to drink, unless you swear the oath of allegiance to Yazid. Abbas went back to his brother to tell him of the outcome of his negotiations with those of Kufa. Abbas heard the children crying of thirst, so he could not tolerate the situation any longer. He was fired up with Hashimi zeal. Then he rode his horse and took the water bag. As many as 400 archers soon surrounded him and shot him with their arrows, yet their large number did not impede his attempt. He kept chasing those throngs alone as his standard kept fluttering above. Their men could not maintain their grounds before him, and he succeeded in getting into the Euphrates. Abbas is now coming to the Euphrates. The moment he took one handful of water to drink, فَذَكَرَ عَطَشَ الْحُسَيْنِ, he remembered how thirsty Imam al-Hussein is and those who are with him. So he spilled it it. Then he filled the water bag, rode his horse, and went in the direction of the camp. His path was blocked, so he kept killing those who blocked it, till he was able to make his way through them. Zayd ambushed him from behind a palm tree, assisted by Akim, dealing a sword blow to his right arm, completely cutting it off. Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas called, Wallahi in qata'tum yamini, inni uhami abadan an dini. By Allah, if you cut off my right hand, I shall not cease defending my creed. And an imam true to his conviction do I defend. He did not pay attention to the fact that his right hand had been cut off, because he was only concerned about getting the water to the children and the family of Imam al-Husayn. But Akim was still hiding behind another palm tree when he passed by. Akim struck him with his sword on his left hand, amputating it too. And soon a large number of men were surrounding him. Arrows fell on him like rain, piercing the water bag and boring a hole in the throat in it, through which its water was completely spilled. An arrow pierced his chest. A man hit him with a pole on his head. He fell onto the ground shouting, Alayka minni salam ya Aba Abdillah. Oh brother, I want to give you my salams. Imam al-Husayn rushed to him. Imam al-Husayn reached him, witnessed how sacrifice is being offered to the Holy One on a plain covered with blood and crowned with arrows. Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas had no might or speech, nor anything whereby he could keep his foes away. He could not even see anything. His head was on the ground bleeding. Is it accurate to say that Imam al-Husayn saw all of these calamities and still had any strength whereby he could stand on his feet? Only Imam al-Husayn remained after the martyrdom of Abu al-Fadl. There's no one remaining. He remained a figure starring in the sky, stripped of all his necessities of life. He, Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, described his conditions best when he said, Al-an inkasara dhahri, now my spine was been split. What shall I do with that, Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas? Imam al-Husayn went back to the tent, feeling extremely tearful. He kept wiping his tears with his cuffs as men raced with one another to assault his camp. He called out, is there anyone who helps us? Is there anyone who grants us security? Is there anyone who seeks justice so he supports us? Is there anyone who fears the fire so he defends us? So Cana's daughter came to him, asked him about her uncle Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. He told her of his being killed. Zainab heard him revealing this sad news. So she cried, Ya Kha, Ya Abbas, O Allah is after you. Who is there to protect the tent? Who is there to protect Zukayna and the children? Women wept. Imam al-Husayn wept too and said, Oh, Allah is after you. When Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas was killed, Imam al-Husayn turned to see none to help him against his foes. He looked and saw how his family members and companions lie slaughtered on the ground. He heard the wailing of the orphans and the cries of the children. As loud as he could, he called out, Hal min nasirin? هل من ذاب يذب عن حرم رسول الله Is there anyone who believes in the unity of Allah and who fears Allah in our regard? Is there anyone who comes to our rescue? The women are hearing this. Their voices now grew even louder as they cried. Imam al-Husayn now ordered his dependents to be silent. Zainab, stop crying. Umm Kulthum, stop crying now. And he bade them farewell. Ya Allah. He was wearing a dark silk jubba and a florid turban with two tresses let loose on his sides and wrapped himself with the same burda which the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him and his progeny used to wear and he was carrying his prophet's sword. But he wasn't gonna go to the enemy like that. He asked for a thawb, which nobody wanted, and which he put on underneath his clothes, so that nobody would interest in it, and hence in removing it from his body. He put on clothes that no one would want to remove after he's left this world, since he knew that he was going to be killed soon. They brought him small trousers, but he was not interested in them since they were the outfits of they were wrong outfits. So he took a worn out garment which he ripped, placing its pieces underneath his clothes. Then he asked for wrapping trousers, which he also tore, then put on so that nobody would take them away from his clothes. He then ordered his infant son, Abdullah al-Radi, also known as Ali al-Asghar, to be brought to him so that he would say goodbye to him. Zainab brought him his baby son, Abdullah, as well as his latter mother, Ar-Rubab. As the latter's mother, Ar-Rubab, he placed him in his lap and kept kissing him. Imam al-Husayn is kissing Ali al-Asghar and repeating this statement, Away with these people when you're grandfather, the chosen one is their opponent. Then he brought him to those folks and asked for some water. Ya Allah, Harmala ibn Kalim, Al-Azad, he shot the infant with an arrow that slaughtered the infant. Al-Husayn received his blood in his hand, then threw it up towards the heavens. Imam Al-Husayn said, what decreases my affliction is the fact that it is witnessed by the Almighty Allah. He then heard a voice saying, leave him, O Hussein, for there is a nurse for him in paradise. Say that he placed him together with those of his family who had already been killed. Al-Husayn advanced towards the enemy. Brothers and sisters, look at the time. It's nearing the time of the Shahada of your Imam. He advanced towards the enemy, raising his sword, losing all hope of survival, challenging them to a duel. He killed all those who accepted his challenge, and their number was quite high. Then he charged on the army's east flank. Umar ibn Sa'd shouted to everyone, saying, this is the son of Amir al-Mu'mineen, the one with the stomach. This is the son of the killer of the Arabs. Attack him from all directions. 4,000 arrows were at once charged at him. He was forced to alight from his horse. Imam al-Husayn shouted at them, O followers of Abu Sufyan, if you have no religion at all and you fear the returning, and yet you fear the returning of your Maker, then at least you should remain free in your life, and you shall go back to your lineage. Shimr addressed the Imam, saying, what are you, son of Fatima, saying? The Imam said, I am the one who is fighting you. Women are not held accountable. This is because the enemy started attacking the women and children while the Imam is watching, but he's too tired and too much in pain to go and protect them. So keep your rogues away from them and stop them from harming my women as long as I'm alive. Then he said, bade his family farewell for the second time. The Imam came back to Zainab bin Rubab, to Umm Kulthum and Sukayna for a second farewell, ordering them to be patient. He put on the outer mantles as he said, get ready for the affliction and be advised that Allah Almighty should protect and safeguard you. He shall save you from the evil of the enemies and make the ultimate end of your affairs good. He shall torment your enemy with various types of torture, and he shall compensate you for this trial with many sorts of bliss and honor. So do not complain, nor should you say anything that may demean your status. صلى الله عليك يا مولاي صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله. Imam al-Husayn turned to his daughter Sukayna now, who was described by Hasan al-Muthanna as one who is always overcome by a deep meditation upon Allah, finding her staying aloof from the other women, crying and wailing. He stood to ask her to be patient and to solace her. It was then that Umar ibn Sa'd said to his men, woe unto you, attack him, Since he is distracted and surrounded by his women, with all the pains that the Imam is facing, the enemy is still afraid of the Imam. They want to take advantage of the Imam being occupied with his family. Since he is surrounded by his women, attack him by Allah. Should he direct his full attention to you, your right wing will not be separated from the left. They therefore assailed him with their arrows till the arrows reached the camp of the Imam. Some of them pierced through the clothes of some of the women, causing them to be stunned and frightened. They screamed and entered the tent. As they looked at Al-Husayn to see what he would do, Imam Al-Husayn attacked the enemy like an angry lion. Everyone who could catch up with him, he stabbed with his sword and killed as he was receiving the arrows from all directions, bracing them with his chest and neck. He went back to his quarters, profusely repeating his statement. He would go near the tents, call out, "La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyi al-azim." It meant, "O women and children, you should know Hussein is still alive." In such a condition, he asked for some water. The Imam is very thirsty now. Shims said to him, "You shall not have a taste of it till you reach the fire." Abu Hatuf shot Imam Al-Husayn with an arrow in his forehead that he pulled out, causing blood to run on his face. The Imam said, "Ya Allah, you see in what condition I am with regard to your servants, these disobedient ones, O Allah. Decrease their number, kill them and leave none of them on the face of the earth, and do not ever forgive them." In a loud voice, Hussein shouted, "O nation of evil, it is indeed evil the way how you succeed Muhammad in faring with his itra, having become too feeble to fight." The Imam stood to rest. It was then that a man threw a stone at the Imam, hitting his forehead and causing his blood to run down his face. He took his shirt to wipe the blood from his eyes, just as another man shot the Imam with a three-pronged arrow that pierced the chest of the Imam, settled in the Imam's heart. He instantly said, "Bismillah wa bismillah." Bismillah wa billah wa fi sabilillah ila yirzan bi qazayin. Raising his head to the heavens, he said, "Lord, you know that they are killing a man besides whom there is no other son of your prophet's daughter." As soon as he took the arrow out of his back, blood gushed forth like a drain pipe. He placed his hand on his wound, and once his hand was filled with blood, he threw it above, saying, "Make what has happened to me easy for me, Ya Allah. It is being witnessed by Allah." Not a single drop of that blood fell down to the ground. Then he put his back his second time. He put it back, he put the arrow back his second time. And it was again filled with his hand a second time. The hand was filled with the blood. This time he rubbed it on his face and beard as he said, "Thus shall I appear when I meet my Lord and my grandfather, the Messenger of Allah, drenched in my blood. It is then that I shall say, 'O grandfather, so and so killed me.'" Bleeding soon sapped the imam's strength. So he sat down on the ground, feeling the head being too heavy. At the last moment, the imam is feeling dizzy. Malik noticed his condition, so he taunted him, then dealt him a stroke with his sword to the head of the imam, Imam al-Hussein, was wearing clothes that were filled with blood soon. Imam al-Hussein said, "May you never be able to eat nor drink with your right hand." The enemies of Allah waited for a short while, then returned to Imam al-Hussein, whom they surrounded. He sat on the ground, unable to stand. Abdullah, the son of Imam al-Hussein, grandson of the Prophet, who was then 11 years old, looked and saw how his uncle was being surrounded by those people. He came running towards him. Zainab wanted to restrain him, but he managed to escape her and to reach his uncle. One of the enemy lowered his head to strike Imam al-Hussein. This child shouted, "O son of the corrupt women, are you going to strike my uncle?" The man dealt a blow from the sword that the child received with his hand, cutting it off. The child cried in agony, "Ya Amma, O uncle." Then he fell in the lap of Imam al-Hussein, who hugged him and said, "O son, ya bunay, O son of my brother, be patient with regard to what has befallen us, and consider it a goodness. For Allah, the Most Exalted, will make you join the righteous ancestors." Then he raised his hands and supplicated, "Ya Allah, let them join themselves, let them enjoy themselves for some time, then divide them and make them into parties, and do not let their rulers ever be pleased with them, for they invited us to support us. Then they turned their backs to us and fought us. Harmala," again we see him, shot the child with an arrow, killing him as he sat in his uncle's lap. Imam al-Hussein remained lying on the ground for some time. Had those rogues wished to kill him, they could have done so. But each tribe relied on the other to do what it hated to do itself. Shimr ibn Dhil Jawshan shouted, "What are you standing like that for? What do you accept the man to do since your arrows and spears have wounded him heavily? Attack him." زرع ابن شريك. Struck the Imam on the left shoulder with his sword. While Hussein, just picture this, brothers and sisters, your Imam is sitting there, the enemy is just waiting for a chance to strike your Imam. Hussein shot him with an arrow that penetrated the Imam's mouth. Another man struck him on the shoulder. Sinan ibn Anas stabbed him in his collarbone area of the chest. Then he shot him with an arrow in the neck. His horse came circling around the Imam, rubbing his head on the blood of the Imam. The horse then went to the camp. When the women saw the horse without its rider and its saddle twisted, they went out with their spread out. With hair spread out, beating their cheeks, their faces uncovered, screaming and wailing, feeling the humiliation after enjoying prestige, going in the direction of the place where Imam al-Hussein had been killed. Umm Kulthum and Zainab cried out, Wa Muhammada, Wa Aliya, Wa Ja'fara, Wa Hamza, Hada Hussainun Murammalun Biddima. This is Hussein, openly slain in Karbala. صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك. عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت بقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحزام وعلى علي بن الحزام وعلى أولاد الحزام وعلى أصحاب الحزام. أجرك الله يا بقية الله في مصيبة جدك الحزين. We express our condolences to the Imam of our time. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the right of the Imam, by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, that He hastens the return of our Imam. O Allah, we ask You, by the right of Imam al-Hussein on this day, that You hasten the return of our Imam. O Allah, we ask You from the bottom of our hearts, that You hasten the return of our Imam. We ask You from the bottom of our hearts that You enable us to be like the companions of Imam al-Hussein towards our Imam. O Allah, we ask You by the right of the Ahlul Bayt that You prolong the life of and give good health to all of our maraja and especially the leader. O Allah, we ask You to forgive our sins. We ask You to relieve all the people of the oppression that they're facing. O Allah, the tawassul that was done today, we request that You accept. Because of the tears that were shed for Imam al-Hussein, people here need a lot of help. In their dunya we need the needs of this dunya, the spiritual needs, the help to be able to practice, the help to help us open our hearts to You, Ya Allah. By the right of these tears that You love so much, we ask You to grant us all the needs that we have. بالنبي وآله رحم الله من قرأ الفاتحة مع الصلوات.